We know a little over a year ago, this community embarked on this crazy, crazy journey, and this is just a glimpse of what this journey is about. And, you know, every time I watch this video, I'm reminded of the guy that almost gets hit by the car. Have you noticed that? You know, it's like, oh, and help us not to hit him as we drive by. That would not be a good thing. But, you know, we have this crazy dream of how God wants to continue to connect in this community and use this specific tribe known as Crosspoint to do that. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but today, we're kind of revisiting this. We're approaching the first anniversary of the crazy journey, and we're going to go over the next 6 weeks on a kind of a mini journey, talking about how we're still crazy around here and talking about the heart of this thing, this crazy love that we feel we've experienced from God and that we have the privilege of partnering with Him to share with others. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be on this kind of mini journey. Mini journey means, you know, we're going to be doing some unique things, meaning we're going to have some very targeted things we're going to be talking about on Sundays that bring you updates on where we are, that share where this vision is going. But also, weekends become a critical piece. It becomes an important piece of information for you to come and process each and every week. So I want to encourage you, ask you to just be present with this each and every weekend as much as possible. And then the second component to this mini journey is the small group environment. And many of you are connected to life groups. Some of you have never taken that step. Some of you are newer to Crosspoint and you've never considered these. You know, let me just say, you know, this is one of those places where it's not just go do what we ask you to do. We're not into that. But we believe this is one of the environments where we grow, where we change, where God really begins to form us in community. And so we ask, whenever we go through one of these journeys, for the entire community here at Crosspoint to consider connecting with a group for just 6 weeks. Give it a shot. You might say, I don't like groups. I don't like to sit in people's homes. I don't like to process. I don't like Bible studies. You know, it's not that. Usually when I hear those things, I say, hey, just give it a shot for 2 weeks and then come back and tell me if you love it. And usually the response is, I had no idea that's what this was. I loved it. Can't believe I've been living without this kind of community, connecting with people in this way. And so if you're interested in connecting in that way, we're going to tell you later how to mark on an informational card, your interest, and then we'll get you connected. But we're going to be taking a look over these next 6 weeks at this crazy dream that God has for this community. And you know, a year ago we embarked on this journey, and it was to raise about $500,000 to begin to build out warehouse space so that we can move into a more permanent home, a place for this community to have a home base. And we're approaching the one-year anniversary of this, so we're going to be engaging at another level, saying what does it mean for us to amp this thing up as we continue to consider what God's doing. And along this journey, we're also going to be referring to a resource over the next 6 weeks. By a guy by the name of Francis Chan, great author, great speaker, has written a number of books. This one's called Crazy Love, and it taps right into the heart of what this community is about. And so if you're a reader, I would encourage you to go out and purchase this book and get it in any store offline. The subtitle's Overwhelmed by a Relentless God. This God who loves and pursues us, not to condemn, not to you know, throw moral commands, but to say, hey, I just want to love on you, and I want you to be an avenue or a conduit of love to others. And so we'll be referring to this often throughout the next number of weeks. And really what we're doing is we're talking about who we are as a church. We're getting to the core of what this church is about and how we see that our role is to bring love into our community, to invade our community in increasing ways with the love of Christ in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in the schools where our children go, you know, in our kids' sports teams and our workplaces. What does it mean for us to be a pervading community that goes and just kind of shares this love of Christ? And so I'm really excited you're here today. We have a great day in store and a great 6 weeks in store. My name's Kurt, by the way. I'm a pastor here at Crosspoint, and we're just glad you're here today. A couple things we do each and every week is take out your weekly. You received this when you came in. Steve referred to it a few minutes ago, and inside is a connection card. This is something we do every week. We ask everybody in the seats. I fill one of these out as well and ask you to just grab the pen next to you on the seat next to you, under you, and take a moment and fill this out. If you're a partner or regular attender, we're just looking for your name, any data that's changed, email that's changed. And then if you're a guest with us today, again, let me just say welcome. We're glad you've chosen to join us, and we consider it a privilege that you take a little bit of time out of your Sunday to be here, and we would love for you to fill this card out as well with as much information as you're comfortable passing on to us. And then on the back, there's a place where you can write prayer requests, and this has become something big to us recently. You know, we've always put this on here, but we realize, you know, we want you to know that when you write something on the back of this card, we see each and every request that comes in. We pray for each and every request, our staff team. So if you have things you'd like us to pray for, that's one of the reasons we're here, and you can write that on the back of the card. Now, as you're doing that, a couple big things going on, a number of ways to connect. Today, we have a cool thing happening right after this service called Explore Crosspoint. It's for those that are newer to the church community here at Crosspoint that maybe have some questions. Maybe you're kind of deciding, am I going to connect here? Am I not? Where do I go to maybe find out more information? This is it right here. We're going to have free lunch for you, free childcare. What else could you ask for, right? You get a free meal, and you get to connect with a handful of people that are newer to this community. And so if you're interested in staying, even if you didn't sign up today, you can stay. We'll have more than enough lunch. You can go immediately immediately out the doors and down the hall, the children's hallway, and there's a Explore Cross Point's going to be at the end of the hallway there, and we'll get your kids directed after they eat to where child care is as well. And then also, we have something called baptism coming up here in a couple weekends. This is one of those really cool celebrations we do a couple times a year where we just celebrate what God is doing. And this is a very expressive thing. It's for people who have recently made a commitment to Christ, or maybe you made a commitment a long time ago and you've never expressed that through water baptism. And if you want to find out more information, again, mark that on your card right here, on your connection card. There's a place on the back where you can do that. And we'll send you some information, and you can see if you want to be a part of that. Last, we have a project going on right now called the Playground Initiative, and this is a part of our Bucket Project here at Cross Point, which is a partnership that we have with IPS School 96 on the southwest side of Indianapolis, and they recently won a playground grant and are installing a brand new playground for their kids. They need over 300 volunteers to make that happen, to install this thing on May 18th and 20th. And so we as a community said it's a great way for us to get our hands dirty alongside others. Invite your colleagues. Maybe people don't even go to Cross Point to go. You can give anywhere from 2 hours to an entire day. And so if you're interested in hearing more about that, again, mark that on the back of your card or stop by Connection Point, and there's a sign up where you can identify the time slots that you'd like to participate. Cool, cool way to just be a blessing to kids in our community. So a lot of stuff going on here. We're excited about how we're still crazy around here. You're going to find out this is a crazy place. We do just abnormal things in a good way usually. And today we're going to continue kind of just saying, God, what is it you want to do in us and through us as we seek to go to those new places? So take a look at the screens. Maybe you remember the movie The Patriot. Here's a small clip from it.
Reverend, with your permission, I'd like to make an announcement.
Young man, this is a house of God.
I understand that, Reverend. I apologize. The South Carolina militia is being called up. I'm here to enlist every man willing.
Son, we are here to pray for the souls of those men hanging outside.
Yes, pray for them. But honor them by taking up arms with us.
And bring more suffering to this town?
If King George can hang those men, our friends, he can hang any one of us.
Dent Scott, barely a week ago, I heard you rail for 2 hours about independence.
And?
Mr. Hardwick, how many times have I heard you speak of freedom at my father's table? Half the men in this church, including you, Father, and you, Reverend, are as ardent patriots as I. Will you now, when you are needed most, stop at only words? Is that the sort of men you are? I ask only that you act upon the beliefs of which you have so strongly spoken, and in which you so strongly believe.
Who's with us?
Thank you.
You know, in that clip is a line that's one of my favorite lines of all movies. In fact, it was where she said, all I ask is that you act on the beliefs on which you have spoken and on which you believe. And I love that line. It's a great line. You know, when you come to Crosspoint, I don't know that we have any expectations. You have certain beliefs. We've created a place. That's what Crosspoint's about, is being a place where regardless of your convictions, your beliefs, wherever you may be, you can come into this place and you can kind of start there and you can begin to explore God at your own pace. And yet, there's these moments where, you know, as you come closer to God, as you come closer to Jesus, if these things that you begin to experience and see and maybe take root in you don't begin to propel you to action, then they're literally just religious precepts. I mean, they're just thoughts, they're great ideas. And I think one of the reasons I love that line right there is because, you know, it's one of the very rare moments in movie scenes in Hollywood where they represent a cleric or a pastor or, you know, some kind of priest as not some kind of wuss. All right? Isn't that how they're always presented? I mean, it's like they're a wuss. It's like, you know, my profession is usually this kind of like weak-backed, you know, wussy a little, you know, I'm gonna weasel around, you know, somebody knocking somebody up in the back room, having no morals, you know, just not being strong in their convictions. And I love, there's like a passion, there's a conviction there. It's why the movie's called The Patriot, right? I mean, because it takes that to live this out. Well, you know, this strikes at the core of what excites me. It strikes at the core of what I'm about, not as a pastor, but just as an individual, as a Christ follower, as somebody who's saying, you know, what is my role here? What is God doing in this world? What's the crazy things that God is up to? And as we kind of dive back into this idea of the crazy dream God has for this community and what our role is in it is, you know, what is God doing in my life right now? And how does he want to propel me to the next place? And how do I respond to that? I mean, these things excite me because for many of us, I mean, we're looking to latch on to something like that, something where our lives can have meaning. And so I want to pray for that right now. God, I'm praying that, I know that there's many of us walking in this room right now, and God, we are just looking for something to latch on to. We're looking for something that might bring us purpose, this might bring us meaning, and this whole idea that you're a crazy God and that you are up to something big, it intrigues us. And so some of us have been a part of this. You've been working in these ways in our lives, and you've been amazing us. And yet for others of us, God, we're looking for that. And so I would ask, God, that wherever we are in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual orientation, you would meet us right there and you would help us to begin to see what you're doing. And more importantly, just help us to see you clearly and what you want to do in this world. Pray these things according to your name and character. Amen. Well, you know, when we started this church a little over 4 years ago, you know, one of our main reasons that really drove what we're doing here was just this idea that we wanted to touch our friends in a very real sense, you know, that just weren't into religion. I mean, our friends that weren't into spiritual things, I'd say everybody's spiritual, but they weren't into religion or they checked out of it or been de-churched, if you want to use that word. And one of the things that we got quite a bit in the early years is we're trying to vision cast the kind of community that we believe God set on our hearts to create was, you know, especially from the religious types, you know, that we're used to like church being a certain way, and it was kind of like, well, we'd have these Q&A times, and it's like, well, why don't you do this? You know, why do you do that? Why don't you do these things that I've always liked in my church experience, in my little box? You know, I had somebody say, when are you going to get a pipe organ? Will we become a real church when we get in our own place? I'm like, heaven forbid, God help us, we never do that. I mean, I love pipe organ music in a wedding, all right, wedding. But, you know, in every other scenario, I'm like, why would we do that? And you might like that, and that's cool, but, you know, you had a lot of questions. But really what I began to realize was going on was sometimes, you know, these are just questions of inquiring minds. People want to ask questions, and that's a great place. Explore Crosspoint that we have later today, great place to ask some of those questions. Just find out what drives this place. Why do you guys do the things you do? Sometimes we have great reasons. Sometimes we're like, well, that's a good question. We have to think about that a little bit, you know, because it just comes out of who we are. And yet, what I began to realize, these were core questions that had more to do with our walk with God or our potential walk with God, our potential relationship with God. And really it came down to the question, am I really ready for an invasive revolution to take over my life? I mean, that's really what that's getting at. You know, I like religion when it's self-contained and I can walk in an auditorium and I can just sit there. I mean, that's religion where I can just sit and consume and take in. You know, I like, you know, religion is for me a set of values or a set of filters that, you know, I run all my political decisions through or my moral, kind of my morality through. You know, that's religion. But, you know, when religion begins to in some way, becomes this thing that pervades every part of my life, every part of my being, my whole kingdom, my entire domain, man, I'm not sure I like that. That gets a little too close. I like the nice little box where I just go and certain things are the way they've always been. In fact, you know, I know for me, I sometimes when I'm pushing forward, I resist the pushing forward because it's challenging me to move out of where I've been. And so that's why we've called this thing a crazy journey, because we believe God is stretching this community. We believe God is doing something that's taking us someplace, that's taking us to new places. And whenever we do that, it usually requires some crazy change to go on in our lives. And at the core, that's what God wants to do. And I have to admit, I mean, I'm as prone to religion as the next person. I mean, if you've been around here for any length of time at all, you've heard me talk about, you know, how I'm kind of prone to religion and prone to my hang-ups with religion, and that's part of why maybe I kind of begin to travel a different direction. You've heard me talk about how, you know, I struggle with being accepted and wanting to be liked, and sometimes I come off like I don't care what people think about me, and yet, at the same time, you know, at the core, I want people to like me. I struggle with, you know, if I say certain things, is it going to challenge someone? They're not going to like me, or do I actually say what I feel is authentic and truth, and I, you know, this is me. It's one of the things I struggle with, and so you know, we all deal with this to one degree or another. We have these temptations, these things that we struggle with. In fact, earlier this week I was sitting down with a developer. We've been having a lot of meetings with developers lately, and sitting with a guy that, you know, we just heard we ought to meet with, and so we're sitting down talking with him, and he was kind of talking about some of the places that he has space and what he's seeing happening. As we're just trying to get clarity, as we're going to be sharing over the next number of weeks some of the developments that we're seeing happen with a strategic team as we seek out this next location for us. And he began talking to me about this church that he was talking with that was new to the community. And he said, you know, they're looking at one of my spaces. And he said, it's far too small for you guys, but, you know, they're a new church and they don't have a pastor. I'm like, well, you know, what church is that? And he said, well, I mean, they're just new. I don't want to tell too much information. I said, well, you know, I just haven't heard of a church that's like new but doesn't have a pastor. And he's like, you know, want to find out the competition, huh? You know, want to kind of trying to find out who else is coming. And I said, no, you know, I'm always... Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit I want to see what's all going on. But for the most part, I want to say, well, what's God doing in other places? What is God uniquely doing in other churches in the community? And it reminded me of when, you know, Crosspoint was just starting. One of the things we did a number of weeks, for months early on, was we would actually visit other churches in the community. Not to steal ideas, not to clone, but just to say, what's God doing uniquely in each of these churches, and how is God uniquely shaping Crosspoint to fill in some of the voids that where the needs aren't currently being met? And as we did this, never forget walking into one particular church, and I remember walking in thinking, man, this is pretty cool. And walking in there, I'm like, man, this is, and then I started going, oh, man, I hope nobody from Crosspoint's here. They would really like this. I mean, if they saw this, they probably began to have this like identity crisis. They might like this more than what they like we're going to be doing. And immediately I was into this like you know, comparing, contrasting. But it was cool. I'm like, this is a really cool thing. And you know, does anybody else do that? Do you ever, like, you know, with your business or, you know, your house? Well, I wonder, boy, their house is a lot better than mine. I mean, you know, we have this way of comparing and wanting people to like what we have. And I just realized that this is, you know, this is one of those things. It's a temptation I have. We all have temptations like this. And this is kind of like what some of the very temptations that Jesus experienced. I mean, he had temptations like this. In fact, in the book of Matthew in the Bible, Matthew is kind of this story about this crazy revolution that Jesus is beginning. And it's really not beginning there. It's been going on for hundreds of years. In fact, the whole first part of the Bible, known as the Old Testament, was actually kind of the precursor, the foundation, the prophecy, if you will, about this coming Messiah, this coming Savior that's coming to change everything. He's going to, you know, rock the world. He's going to turn everything upside down, create a revolution, a crazy revolution. And so this begins to take place in the Gospels. Matthew is one of the Gospels. Matthew is a writer who's reporting what he's seen. And we see here one of the first things that happens is Jesus is baptized. We're going to have a baptism service here in a couple weeks. His baptism was a bit different than what we experience here, right? He's in a river. There were birds that came down. Now, we've done birds here before. We've had birds in this room, but these were like birds that came down and hovered over. A bird came over and hovered over him, which was kind of the representation of the Holy Spirit. And we don't necessarily have that happen, but he was baptized. And there was something really cool that happened right there. And it was very similar to what happens here. In fact, here's what happened. Right after he came out of the water, God said, "This is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." And what do we do when we baptize? We go, what? Woo! Yeah, we're excited. We're big. We're like, that is a cool thing. You know, that's what's going on right here. I mean, this is a spiritual high that's going on. Jesus just is baptized on a spiritual high of the spiritual life. And then you know what always comes after the spiritual high? The spiritual low. You're in the basement. You're in the junkyard. And that's just what happens. In fact, By the way, last weekend was Easter, and Easter here rocked at Cross Point. Let me just tell you, we had a record-breaking day here at Cross Point. We went over 400 people in attendance for the first time ever in our existence. Is that cool? That's cool, isn't it? Yeah, that was really cool. That was a cool thing, and more, even more exciting than that, we had over 12 first-time commitments, people that said, hey, I'm going to allow Christ to inhabit my life for the very first time, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to begin to live in me. How cool is that? That is awesome, too, yeah. And we had numerous people that recommitted, people that had been far from God, coming back to God. And it was just a really cool thing. I was like flying high as a kite that day. It was also my birthday last Sunday. So I got to celebrate. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm like 29 again. And I got to celebrate my birth and my rebirth on the same day. It's never happened in my life. It's the coolest thing. I mean, I was just flying high. You know what? Monday came and I was in the spiritual tank. I mean, I had a bad attitude. I'm grumbling around. I could not see past my nose. All right, that's as much vision as I had that day. And that's what normally happens to me. I mean, it's like I have these spiritual highs, and then it's like immediately I have this spiritual low right after it. Well, that's what's going on here with Jesus. And Jesus has a spiritual high, and then all of a sudden, he goes down, he goes into the desert here, and what happens is he basically, he has this personal interaction with a guy by the name of Lucifer, a guy by the name of Satan, or the Dark One, or the Devil, however you like to refer to him, and he's basically tempted. He's tempted three times. And in fact, the third temptation is the one that I can relate to the most. When I read this, I'm like, man, that's me right there. Here's what happened. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so basically, Satan takes him to the top of this mountain and says, hey, Jesus, look out. You can have all of this. You can have all of this if you will, in this moment, make me your primary allegiance. If you will make your domain, your personal domain, your personal kingdom, reorient that and say, and just bow down and worship me, you have everything. And you know, this is a temptation that I have all the time. It's a temptation you probably have all the time. We see these things. We see our life. We have our nice little domains, our nice little kingdoms that we like to build, right? And we're like, man, you know, we have these moments of temptation where it's like, man, you could have this if you just bow down and pledge your allegiance to me. You could have this. You know, we like our domains, right? I mean, even when it comes to our religion, I mean, I think for a lot of us, we like our religion to prop up our domains. I think it was A.W. Tozer, you may recognize that name, that said something. He said, our idea of God tells us more about ourselves than it does about him. Think about that. You know, so many times we like to think that God actually embraces everything we like. And so our idea of God is actually more of a reflection of who we want him to be than it actually is of who he really is. And so it's an interesting idea right there when we think about this, you know, this idea of religion. If we're honest, you know, we choose our pathways, our religious pathways, we choose our religious beliefs in ways that help us move our little domains forward, right? When we go into places, and man, if they challenge my little kingdom or my little domain, I'm going to push back on that. I'm going to resist that because, man, I like my domain. I want to go someplace where people are going to tell me I'm just fine, that what I'm doing right now is great. And you know, and this is one of the temptations I face. I mean, I face this temptation of people, you know, wanting people to like me, you know, saying things that I know will make people happy, and I resist that at times. Maybe yours is, you know, you're a business guy or businesswoman, and you're an entrepreneur, and you're like, man, your temptation is building a bigger and bigger business. Maybe that's one of your temptations. You buy into, I mean, if I sell my soul out right here, then I'll have my domain in a greater sense. Or maybe you're somebody who, you know, you walk into the store and you had to have that red sweater. It's the one you've been dying for, and you finally get up, you know, the ability to purchase it, and you're no more than out the door, and the thought hits you, man, I bet that black one would look good too. Have you ever done that before? I mean, you know, not even get it on, but you're tempted. You're like, this is my domain. I want to have more and more. I like more and more. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe your domain is having the perfect family, and your temptation is, you know, I want have the perfect family. I want have the perfect kids. I want everybody around me to look at my family and say, man, that is a perfect picture of a family right there. Maybe that's your domain. Or maybe body beautiful. Here's an interesting one. Maybe body beautiful is one your domain where, you know, you're like, everybody can look at me and, man, they can know I have got my kingdom together. I mean, I've got it going on, and you want a piece of my kingdom, right? I mean, you want a piece of this one. Don't go too far on that thought right there, right? We do this though, right? We have these domains, and they shape our lives. They shape our lives. The question is, whose kingdom, which domain are you and I tracking on? Which one are we following? Because one of the first things we realize when we talk about God's crazy, crazy dreams, these dreams that God gives to his people to make impact and that he has for his world, the first thing we begin to realize is this, that his dreams cost us something. Some of us know that. We know that there's a cost when we begin to follow these crazy agendas of God. And, you know, you see, one of the reasons the word kingdom was used back in the New Testament, and we find it all throughout the New Testament, is because the people of that day, in that context, they got the word kingdom. You and I, we get like United States, right? We get those kinds of words. They got the word kingdom because they lived in the kingdom of Rome. And Rome invaded everything. Rome was the biggest, largest influencer of the world. It was the be-all. It was the end-all of everything. When you said Rome, you knew that the kingdom of Rome invaded your financial life. It impacted your social life. It impacted your family life. It impacted your spiritual life. It impacted your political life. It impacted every aspect of your life. You didn't experience a kingdom without it invading every part of your life. You see, we like to go and like make our kingdom a 65-minute time on Sunday. It's my kingdom right here. No. Kingdom is invading everything. And you see that we see this crazy revolution of Jesus. You know, this revolution that Jesus wants to bring to your life, what he wants to bring to people's lives in our community, what he actually is bringing to lives in our community is one where all of his ways come into fruition together. All of them. And so, you know, it's all of his ways. It's everything. It's not just this little, you know, 65, 70 minutes on Sunday. It's everything. It's not just my nice little religious box. It's everything. And it costs. I mean, there's a cost when this begins to invade us. We have to maybe relinquish, give up control of some of our domains. Second thing that we begin to realize, second big idea is that God's dreams are always, his crazy dreams are always progressive. You can't be crazy and not be progressive. The opposite of that is passive. God is not a passive God. He's a relentless God. He's always pursuing. You know, throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus regularly talking about direction. Have you noticed that? He's always talking about what direction are you going? Where are you at? He's not usually so concerned with where you are. Sometimes we think he's always concerned with where we are. No, he's interested in where, understanding where you are, but more importantly, where are you going? And that's religion, right? Religion is when we're satisfied with where we are, and I'm like, I'm just going to stay here for a while. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to engage here. I'm just going to have my nice little box. You know, but Jesus uses metaphors. He always talks about there being a path or a way, or, you know, there are people on a way, and he talks about how there's narrow ways and there's wide ways. And he says, you know, there's some ways that are better than others, but he's not so interested in pinpointing, oh, yeah, she's on that way and he's on this way. No, he's like, where are you at and which direction are you going? And the direction that he says is always the best is when you're following. He says, when you're following me, then you're always heading in the right direction. You know, last year when we came to the end of the crazy campaign, at least the six-week beginning of this journey, this three-year journey, you know, we realized something. We realized on June 6th of last year that data was going to come in. It was a day when, you know, we'd ask this community to prepare for, you know, to pray, to process, to listen to what God is saying. And then on June 6th, we were responding, saying, hey, God, here's what I feel like you're inviting me to bring to the table to make this crazy dream a reality. Here's what you're financially inviting me to bring above and beyond what I'm already giving to fuel this God-sized dream. And it was kind of an anxious moment for me, to be honest, because what I knew is that we would get a clear reflection of where the heart of Crosspoint was. Because Jesus says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And I knew that, man, we were going to get a clear picture if our hearts were in our pocketbooks, if they were in our IRAs, if they were in, you know, our lives and investing into our own lives, or if our hearts were investing in to God's kingdom. And I tell you what, man, this place amazed me. You guys blew it out of the water. I mean, it was one of those great, I remember standing in this room celebrating that not only did we hit our goal, but we went 23% in pledges over our goal. And our consultant said, man, you know, I don't want to be a downer on this, but you guys need to be prepared if you don't come in at your goal. And I'm like, you guys not have faith? I mean, you guys not believe we can do this? They're like, no. We're doing, anything is a win. I'm like, nope, you don't know me. Nothing's a win unless we hit the goal. And we always got to hit the goal. And so, man, you guys blew it away. And I love that about this place. I loved that the people's hearts were hot for God in this place. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says it this way. Paul's talking and he says this. He says, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. If I acted only overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Everything. This is the kingdom word right here. It's my emphasis on there. My emphasis on bold. It's not that way in the Bible. I want you to see everything, because what he's saying is my kingdom invades everything. It requires everything. And so the third thing, the third big idea, why does it require everything? Because we have this, if we're going to pursue this crazy dream, we have to understand this God, this Father is reckless about his mission. He's reckless. All right, you and I, sometimes we like to think that, man, God, he's got this nice little safe box that he's going to invite you into. He's going to invite you to live a good, safe life where you're always in control and you're always knowing what the next, how the next bill is going to get paid or how the next job decision is going to be made. You know, God, you know, if you want to live dangerously, I'm going to tell you what, don't come back. Don't come back because God's call is never safe. He's reckless in his mission. In fact, you know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down Matthew chapter 13. Go read this week. Take a precursory read of Matthew chapter 13. And as you read this, listen to how Jesus describes his dad. Matthew chapter 13. In this story, he talks about how his dad is a farmer. In fact, he says his dad is a farmer, and he's a crazy farmer. You thought farmers were conservative, right? He says, no, my dad, he's a crazy farmer. And as you read this, you're going to hear how he says, you know, he's got this seed and he throws some on the hard ground, he throws some on the fertile ground, and he throws some on the thorny ground, and he throws some on the places where birds come and get it. And he's like, here's what I think: if Jesus were here, he'd be like throwing it all over the place. He'd be throwing it out on the carpet. You know, he'd be across Kroger over there, throwing it down the aisleways. He'd be throwing it at my kid's school at Fall Creek Elementary. He'd be walking down, throwing seed all over the place. You know why? You know, because he's reckless in his mission. Now, if you grow stuff, if you're a farmer and you grow things, you're like, what are you doing? This stuff's not going to sprout on the carpet. Jesus is like, I don't care. God's reckless. He sows seed everywhere. He's not conservative to keep it just in the fields that are ready. I mean, the religious leaders, they're like, you know, Jesus, explain this. Why would your dad do this? And you get Jesus' response. When you read this week, just picture it. Here's what he says. He's like, I don't know. That's just my dad. He's crazy like that. I hope my kids say that about me someday. That's just my dad. I don't know. He's crazy like that. I think they say that right now. And so, you know, as you read this week, what you see is this God who's reckless. He's reckless in his mission. You're like, who in the world does that? A relentless, crazy, recklessly abandoned God who pursues people to love them. You know, I've said it many times. You know, people ask me periodically, you know, you hear about Crosspoint. They're like, hey, where's Crosspoint going? I'm like, I don't know. God only knows. God only knows. But what I know is we've got a reckless, crazy father. And in our short history, what we've been experiencing is that we've been on this amazing journey of creating something that is yet to be seen. You know, we're saying things that aren't being said in other places. And we're trusting God to do something meaningful through a whole bunch of imperfect people. And what amazes me is it continues to happen. It's amazing. Why? Not because of me, not because, you know, we have great leadership. It's because we have this crazy God, this crazy Father, and we are actually following him. And I get excited about that. You know, just over a year ago, this community, we embarked on this crazy journey. And if you were here then, for many of you, you know, you were challenged. And we said, you know, over the 6 weeks, we want you to pray, to listen, to process, and then to respond and to consider a 3-year financial commitment to help fuel and fund this next location. We're going to be giving you some updates over the next few weeks on where this is, where we're going, what God's doing, some you know, obstacles we've experienced, some exciting developments, a lot of cool stuff over this series. For those of you who maybe joined us since then, let me just first say, this place was created specifically for you. I mean, when we created this place, it was with you in mind. We said, we want a place where people can go and at their own pace, they can just begin to connect with God. But let me also say that one of the things we want to invite you into is my prayer is that over this next 6 weeks, you're going to go through some of the same experiences and processes that this community went through a year ago. And that you're going to begin to kind of, I'm asking you to just be open to listening, to processing, to praying. And then as we celebrate the first anniversary of this crazy campaign, you know, is there something God's asking me to do? I mean, is there some way that God's saying, I want you in on the ground floor of this big thing that I'm doing? And that's all I want to ask. Steve and the band are going to come up and they're going to, here they come. They're going to come up and sing this song in a moment. It's a great song. It's called From the Inside Out. And it's going to be newer to us today, but here's a few of the lyrics right here. It says, my heart, my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. That's my prayer right there for the next 6 weeks. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. And then it goes on. It says, your will above all else, my purpose remains, the art of losing myself And you get that recklessness right there? I mean, God does not call us to a safety. He says, I want you to lose yourself. I want you to lose control, to lose your domains, to lose your kingdoms. I want you to lose yourself and make your purpose about me and bringing me praise. And so that's our prayer. That's going to be our prayer over these next few weeks. And, you know, as we do this, you know, just over a year ago, as we came to this point for my family, you know, Julie and I, we came to this place where, you know, we just felt God tugging on us and kind of saying, you know, Kurt, Julie, this is what I feel like your role in this crazy dream is. And as we began to consider what God was stirring in us, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing because, you know, we were doing what everybody else was doing. We were listening, we were praying, we were processing, and then we came to that place, man, we can't just sit here. We have to respond. We have to act. And God laid many things on our heart. One of the things God laid on our hearts was kind of crazy because we started saying, man, if we do this, man, our kids could be geeks. Now, maybe they're geeks already. I don't know. But if we do this, our kids could be geeks at their school, all right? They may be nerds. They may be the kids that, like, don't connect with the rest of the kids because one of the things that God was stirring in us was he said, you know, I want you to give up your cable television and your satellite TV. And that sounds somewhat easy, and I know many of you, many others have followed in that pathway of just saying, so one of the things I'm going to give up, I'm going to sacrifice, because sacrifice, you see, is giving up something I love. I love my cable TV, I love my DVR, for something I love more. And it was like, it's one of the things, among others, that God was saying, maybe this is something you can give up. And man, we were struggled with that. We're like, our kids, they're not going to know, like, Hannah Montana. Maybe they shouldn't. I don't know. They're going to know the Jonas Brothers, all these things that they get on their TV channels. They're not going to, Good Luck Charlie and all these things that their friends talk about. They're going to be out of the know on this. They're going to be like outcasts. And so we struggled. We talked through it with them. And it was interesting because, you know, our family came to the point of saying, yeah, that's one of the things we're going to give up. And I tell you what. Never forget, in the first 3 weeks, we did not have satellite in our home. It was three of the most awkward weeks in our house. We would come home, kids would come home, turn the TV on. They're like, oh, there's nothing on. Turn it right back off. It was quiet, eerily quiet. Nobody knew what to do with themselves. They're fighting. Don't take this as a reason not to do this, but because it's gotten better. But it was a struggle. And so about 2 weeks ago, Macy came up to me. You know, she came home from school, and she just kind of like, you know, threw her stuff down. She went and sat in front of the TV, turned it on, and started watching, I don't know, PBS or whatever we have. We don't have much. So whatever goes over the air. And she turned it off. She said, there's nothing on. I'm tired not having TV. I want to watch my shows. I said, well, Macy, you know, we've talked about this. She's like, I know. Stormed up to her room, stormed, and she just kind of marched up and started doing her homework. She came back down about 10 minutes later, and she said, Dad, are we still building that church for people to come so they can see God more? I said, yeah, we are. And she thought for a moment. She said, okay, well, then I guess I'm okay with not having my shows. And she just walked away. And I'm like, wow, that was a good response. I'm glad that worked out well. But then I thought, you know what? There was something really cool that happened right there. Because we stepped out and did some crazy things. But some of my friends were like, man, Kurt, you ought to give a lot of things up, but I don't know that I'd give that up. But we followed it. And you know what I began to see was our crazy decisions actually impact our kids. They actually are seeing that, man, there's a relentless, crazy father who's reckless and does crazy things that the rest of our culture doesn't necessarily do. And in that moment, we just taught them what it means to follow a reckless God. And we didn't even know it. See, the decisions we'll make over the next few weeks will have a radical impact, not just on us, not just on our kingdoms, not just on our domains, but on our kids' domains, and the domains that will shape their families' lives in the future. So the only thing I want to ask is that, you know, over these next 6 weeks, can you be open to what God may want to do through you, whether you've been with us once or twice, or you've been here since the beginning or somewhere in between? What crazy thing might God be stirring in you? I want to invite you to stand, and the band's going to play, and we're going to sing this song from the inside out, and I want you to just stay open to saying, God, what do you want from me?